visibly? Thanks for joining us here on Viewpoint. I want you to be safe in this climb, friends. Make sure you prepare. I want to urge you to become a partner with us. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Don't delay. Do it today. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Help us to get out a message to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. Let's climb it together.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, we'd hope to have Senator Mike Gravel with us. And hopefully, perhaps with a little luck, we'll be able to get him. We'll have to keep trying. He's just moved into a new home here. But Senator Gravel was in the United States Senate for about 12 years. And during that time, why, he was, always an outspoken. He's very liberal in many respects, but very concerned about freedom. And I'll never forget, he came to my home, and we did a radio program perhaps, 15 years ago, and he quoted, paraphrase that, a famous saying by Lord Acton, power corrupts, corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Mike Gravel had added to that, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely everyone. And I think that is really, really very, very true. Well, hopefully we're going to be able to get him, and I'm just going to see if we can have a little just a thought on how we might be able to reach him. Anyway, we'll see if I can get our producer to come in here, and I'll tell him how we can get another telephone number, because I'd like to hear what Mike Gravel has to say. But under any circumstances, why, we were going to be talking about what had happened on September 11th, because that certainly was a watershed event, and we'll be back here in just a moment as we see if we can get hold of Mike Gravel. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Basically, of course, Dr. Mike Gravel has talked to the people. He's working with the people who are trying to get the truth out about what happened on September 11th. Because, you know, it's very easy. We saw what happened that day. We saw the planes hit the building. Well, we saw the plane hit the South Building the following day. Why, they got the picture of the plane hitting the North Tower. But I'm sure the plane did hit the North Tower. But basically, then, of course, we saw the buildings fall after the planes hit them. But it was the planes that caused the buildings to come down. Now, of course, that's initially, I took that as a given. I mean, we saw the planes hit the buildings and the buildings came down. But did they necessarily follow one another? The buildings fall so rapidly, so symmetrically, you wonder, you know, do we really see what's happening? There were actually some still films of I think it was probably the South Tower, and actually you see the top of the building begin to shift to one side there, to almost if it's going to fall off. And then, of course, what happens is that or that top of the building simply evaporates. It simply doesn't fall off to one side. It simply disappears. It's and the same thing happened to the North Tower. Watch the buildings come down and notice that the tops of the building simply disappear. Now, how could the tops of the building disappear? This was a was simply a pancake type of collapse, and the superincumbent waited actually of collapse the buildings. And then, of course, what really convinced me, it took me a couple of years. I'm a little slow to learn. I didn't really want to believe that that there were people in our government who had actually killed all those Americans. But when you see the South, when you see building number 7 come down and you realize it's a controlled demolition, the center of the roof collapses first, then the base of the building goes. They collapse the center of the building first, so that the walls will fall inward rather than outward. It was a perfect controlled demolition. No question at all, and that means the murderers are still at large. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and here and right now we have Senator Mike Gravel on the line. Senator, thanks very much for being with us. Senator, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm so glad we were able to get hold of you. And I really sort of wanted somebody who's been in Washington, D.C., and you've served, 12 years in the United States Senate?
Correct, and I was Speaker of the House in Alaska before I went to the Senate.
All right, well, basically you're well acquainted with government, and of course you have raised some questions about what really happened on September 11th, because that was a watershed event that changed the course of our country, justified the war in Afghanistan, and somehow, I think in people's minds, somehow justified the war with Iraq, although it really didn't. And then, of course, now we're at war with the Muslim world. We have our troops in Pakistan killing people, and in Yemen, in Somalia, and really in a number of Muslim nations. And we're involved in this war on terrorism, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, first off, there's no such a thing as a war on terrorism. Terrorism is a tactic employed by either governments or individuals in order to frighten the general populace. But what they did when George Bush called this a war on terrorism, because terrorism is going to be with us until the end of time, what it did, it enshrined the economic basis for a continuation and expansion of the military-industrial complex and the homeland security complex. And that's what we've seen, a diminution of our liberties under the name of a war on terrorism, which is really nothing but a PR creation. Terrorism as a criminal activity, which is what it is, should be pursued with police work and intelligence. And not set armies invading other nations, and that of course is, but this plays into the simple fact that we are controlled by the military-industrial complex, that we have acculturated the American people to a military culture, and this is all sustained by these wars and the wars on terrorism and the whole. Cliche, oh, we've got to support our troops. Well, if we want to support our troops, we wouldn't send them into false wars. And when we have, we'd have the good sense to bring them home at the proper time.
Well, I certainly agree with everything that you say, and I think that's a message that's so important to get out, but it's just not getting out, and so many good people, you know, people that I know and I respect support the wars, and I think they're entirely wrong, and yet they feel this patriotism, and hold just a moment, we're going to bring some of our stations back on board here, and I want to get this... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we were able to get hold of Senator Mike Gravel, and basically he's simply pointing out that what happened on September 11th strengthened the military-industrial complex, the homeland security complex, got us involved in wars, of course, useless wars, senseless wars, and he feels that we certainly should not be doing this. If we want to support our troops, we should bring them home and not have them fighting senseless wars, not that justification. He comments on the war on terrorism, and he says you can't have a war on terrorism. This is not a country. You don't invade countries because you've got terrorists. You send in special units of police work or other means of taking care of terrorists, but you don't invade nations. And I agree with everything he says. And I think it's so vitally important that people out there understand that what we saw on September 11th, 2001, is not necessarily what really happened. Would you agree with that? Do you think that we were sort of mesmerized that day, that this was one of the greatest really illusions that ever took place?
No question in my mind. In fact, I equate it to Adolf Hitler's burning of the Reichstag in 1933. And then, of course, they tagged it on to a half-wit communist and then used it as an excuse to set up the first concentration camps in Germany. In the United States, we don't have concentration camps except in Guantanamo and rendition locations around the world, but we do have a situation where the government feels it's entitled to do anything it wants in the name of the war or, quote, the threat. And they brought about this attitude of American people living in fear. You have a lot greater likelihood of being hurt and getting cancer, being hurt in an automobile accident or cancer, than you ever have of suffering anything from a terrorist attempt, but that's where we're at now. With respect to the comment you made about the fact that you have a lot of friends who don't buy into this for whatever reason, I would maintain that if anybody looked at some of the evidence, don't have to look at a lot, just some of the evidence. What you were talking about. The implosion of Building 7. When you look at that and you look at pictures of controlled demolition, you see that this is controlled demolition. Well, the obvious question is, who controlled the demolition? And so what we're suggesting is that we need a new commission to study to investigate what happened prior to, during, and the aftermath of the 9/11, which would be the two wars and the war on ridiculous war on terror. Now, this commission should be a citizens' commission. If we're going to get another government commission, you're going to get no better than what you had under Bush when he was forced to create a commission, and when most of the commissioners admit that the job they did was very inadequate, that they were lied to extensively, and that the CIA destroyed information upon the request of the commission. This is what happened. That's totally inadequate in view of the importance of this event. And so a citizens commission that we could bring about two ways. One, by an initiative in a state, California, Ohio, Colorado, Massachusetts, Washington, Oregon, a whole host of states, putting forth an identical piece of initiative text that the people could vote on across the country. Now, this has limitations because the powers that would be given to this commission would be limited to the powers that can be conferred within each one of these states. And the power that we would seek to confer is that of a grand jury, where you can subpoena and indict, but you'd have to turn over any indictment over to the state prosecutorial process. However, there's another way that we could solve this problem, and it would solve a good many others, and that is by enacting the national initiative. I've authored legislation whereby it's meta-legislation. All it does is put in hands of people the ability to make laws. Well, if you could do this on a national level, all you have to do is have one initiative creating a citizens commission, and that commission would proceed with the investigation. Also, once we put that in place, the people would be able to make laws and set policies in partnership with their existing elected officials. So both of these alternatives are possible, and I'm working on both of them.
Well, it would be wonderful if you could set up a citizens commission, but my concern would be that if it had anything to do with government, why, of course, they would come and bribe the attorney general or whoever would be a district attorney. I know this is what happened with the investigation of what happened to the Oklahoma bombing. There was an effort, you know, to try to get an independent investigation, but unfortunately, this was under the administration of the government, and certainly the governor there wanted to cover up what happened in Oklahoma. Certainly the elected officials wanted to cover it up. And so, really, even though they had an independent investigation, it wasn't allowed to proceed because they didn't want the truth to come out. And when you stop and think of the implications, certainly 168 people died in Oklahoma City, but almost 3,000 died on September 11th. And the implications of that are so horrendous for the American people, really, as a whole, understood the magnitude of the murder that took place that day. And you know, one of the most interesting things is that six of the so-called hijackers identified by the FBI within 24 hours. I mean, they had no idea the attack was coming, but 24 hours later, they knew who all 19 of them were, and they had their life story, and they had their pictures, and yet six of them are still alive over in the Middle East, and I believe in a lot of things, but I just don't understand how they could crash those planes into the buildings or shoot, or the plane could have crashed there at Shanksville and six of them still be alive. It just doesn't make sense to me, and this is well known. People can check it out on the internet. There are a number of stories up there about the six of the hijackers who are alive and well, and that just doesn't seem logical, does it?
Not at all, and I think that the point that you're making should be made to your friends who really are averse to a new investigation. And the point you're making is they don't have to agree with your suspicions. All they have to agree is that we did not do a good job looking into this matter, and if anything, from an historic perspective, we need a new and viable investigation. Now, the key to an investigation, and you alluded to that in your comments, and that was that if you're going to have government officials, even with a citizens committee, if you don't appoint the commissioners in the legislation, then who does appoint? Well, obviously, it will be the governor or the president. And so you're back at square one. Because Obama has demonstrated repeatedly that he is no more interested in justice in this regard than was George Bush. And so you see what goes around comes around. And it's very sad because, you know, he campaigned on change. And we haven't seen any change. All we've seen is Bush Light in many respects.
I fear you're right, and I think there are so many people who really wanted to change. I think the reason Obama was elected, it was really a vote against George Bush, and they felt that this would be, if McCain had been elected, it would have been a continuation of the Bush administration, and it would have. And so the people were voting against that, and that's the reason that Obama won, and then, of course, the change they got, they didn't like, and now they've reputed they did that with a Republican sweep. But I'm not sure the Republicans would be at all interested in finding out what really happened on September 11th.
Oh, not in the slightest. In fact, they're more vocal on this than anybody else. And the Republicans are so locked into the military-industrial complex. Anytime a Democrat criticizes, like I'm doing, the excesses of the government military appropriations, they question your patriotism. My God, you're going to leave this country defenseless. Defenseless? We spend more on defense than all the rest of the world put together, and there's nobody that's a threat to us. What you read in terms of threat within the military documents is China and Russia. With China and Russia, either one do not spend 10% of what we spend on defense. Where's the threat? They're trading with us. They're making money with us. What motivation do they have to go to war with us? None at all. Yet we keep up this figment that we've got to have a nuclear capability and I'm talking about offensive nuclear capability, and this is a debate that's going on within the Pentagon about whether we need to continue the triad. and that is where we have bombers that can deliver nuclear bombs, where we have submarines, and where we have missiles, ICBMs. Who are we going to attack with our nuclear offensive capability? Can you imagine any member of the administration, the government of the United States, launching a preemptive nuclear attack in the world?
Well, of course, what I can't imagine would be a false flag operation where a lot of Americans get killed, and then they say, gee, we've got to retaliate. You know, after all, we went to war with Afghanistan because, of course, there were a couple of people, terrorists there. At least we're told Osama bin Laden was behind this. But we're not going to show you any of the proof of that. We're just going to show you some videos of a man doesn't even look very much like Osama bin Laden, but you got to believe us. That's Osama bin Laden. He's saying he did it. Here's he's saying it in Arabic, you can't understand it. But are you going to believe your lying eyes? Are you going to believe what your government tells you? And yeah. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But what frightens me, Senator, is the fact that they might very well come up with some sort of a provocation, especially as we get into more and more economic problems. And had this during the Second World War. We needed an excuse to get into a war. We never would have gotten out of the recession. We'll be back in just a moment. Our guest, Senator Mike Gravel. Go right ahead. Anyway, I hope and pray that I'm wrong, and I hope and pray that we never have a nuclear war, but I have an uneasy feeling that we are doing today exactly what we did in the years leading up to World War II.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income,
and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value, plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
A lot of civilians, and maybe of course that Bin Laden really wasn't the mastermind of this, but we'd simply go right along with that. And then of course Senator Gravel speaks out about something that really has bothered me. Where is the outcry from the American people about the admitted torture of people? And of course a lot of them were totally innocent. I don't know how many of them were guilty. I don't know how many of them were innocent. Well, we know that many of them were innocent. Many of them were actually picked up over in Afghanistan because, of course, somebody didn't like them, or they found them on the field of battle and they were brought over and they were accused of being terrorists. And these innocent people were tortured.
Well,
and where is the outcry?
Dr. Stan, and the American government was giving bounties to the warlords in Afghanistan for people that were turned in. So where do you think the motivation is? If you can pick up a couple of people that don't know what's going on and turn them over to the Americans as a threat, and then you collect money for just turning them over. And then these poor devils are now stuck either in Guantanamo or rendition factories around the world that we have. You know, we don't know the number of rendition locations. We do know that we have over 700 military bases in the world, and that we think that we are God's gift to the world by being the world's police force. Do really Americans want that role, to pay for that when we're broke?
Well,
and
we see
other countries like China or Russia and Europe and Japan and South Korea and Singapore. All those countries are advancing into modernity, and we are staying behind. And I'm reminded of the example at the end of the Spanish Empire, that the only thing the Spaniards could do after they squandered all the gold that they'd taken from the Western Hemisphere, the only thing they could do very well is make swords. That's what we can do. We can make military equipment to a fairly well. But look at our crumbling infrastructure, our educational programs. You can just go down the line. It's an absolute tragedy. And I want to reemphasize, the Americans don't seem to be upset about it at all, because they continue to be brainwashed by mainstream American media.
Well, you won't get any objection from us, of course. We are part of what we're known as the alternative media, and we actually, a small group of people like myself, I do have a moderate amount of outlooks. I think probably we have about 14 outlooks for this program, certainly four or five stations up in Washington, and the Christian Broadcasting Network with six stations that were on shortwave or on internet or on satellite. So basically, of course, this message is getting out across America. And I wish we had a much larger voice, but multiplied with the effects of the other people. And then, of course, we have three different networks we do this on every week, and a weekend program with about 33 radio stations. We're reaching people. And I think there's a growing awareness. Certainly, we don't have a majority of people who know there's a problem. But I know that certainly polls in New York City have suggested that as many as almost 50% of the people do not believe the official government story. And
well,
that's true.
In a national poll also, Dr. Stan. I've seen a national poll that came to the same amount. That alone should be evidence for the need of a new investigation. When you have that many Americans who are suspicious of the storyline that was put out by the government, we have an obligation to re-examine that storyline and find the truth and bring about justice. Obama, with his statement, won't look back, that's not justice. And if there's anything that our country needs, it's to enforce justice. I'll give you an example of the other extreme, and that's what's happening to WikiLeaks. Here you have the full force of the American government's power to try and stop these leaks, and you had Vice President Biden, who I served with in the Senate, going on the weekend news broadcast saying that, oh, this is different than the Pentagon Papers that I was involved with Daniel Ellsberg. Well, I got to tell you, it is no different. The WikiLeaks are the Pentagon Papers of modern day. What the Pentagon Papers showed was that five presidential administrations essentially lied to the American people to go into war. And now what we have, WikiLeaks is revealing cables, negotiations, where it shows overwhelmingly that we are a country intent on controlling everybody else.
You're absolutely right. Hold that thought. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call in, one, if you have a question for Senator, we don't want to discussions, but if you have a question for Senator Gravel, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, right here at Radio Liberty.
While the storm clouds gather far across the sea, let us swear allegiance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess. It's Senator Mike Gravel. And are you getting any support from anybody back there in Washington, D.C., or any of the congressmen or senators? Do they have the courage to bring up this subject and perhaps be willing to help you sponsor it?
No, not at all. I've been supportive of a new investigation for quite a number of years, but it was only recently that I've advanced the idea to essentially the truther community that we ought to use an initiative process to try and create an investigative commission. And so now it remains, and I'm working on the legislation with attorneys in Sacramento, and we hope that we'll have a finished document by the end of January that we could then file here in California and in several other states. The problem is this would take a substantial amount of money to go ahead and qualify this as an initiative, and that's a task that's going to have to be relegated to the truther leadership, whether it's the architects and engineers. They got an association of over almost 1,500 people, whether it's the actors and artists. And you got policemen for 9/11 Truth. You've got scientists for 9/11 Truth. So you've got a large community out there, very large, and in fact, surprisingly so. And they're the ones that are going to have to organize themselves. This is not something I can do.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Senator Mike Gravel, and he's talking about the fact he's putting together the legislation, ready to be presented as an initiative. Of course, it costs a lot of money to get an initiative on the ballot, so he's hoping that other groups like architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, or police officers for 9/11 Truth, or actors for 9/11 Truth, or all sorts of organizations out there, scientists for 9/11 Truth, will help, you know, to raise the funds to get this on the ballot, so that people could basically, of course, it'll focus people's attention on the fact that there really is a serious question of what happened. And as Senator Crivell has pointed out, there are nationwide polls which show that 50% of the people do not believe the official government story. And that's rather frightening. It means that 50% of the people honestly think that the government lied to us about what happened that day. They're not necessarily saying that they exactly what they think, but they want the truth out. And I think, that, of course, that the truth needs to be known. Now, before we go on, do you have a web page or anything of that sort you'd like to get out, Senator?
Yes, there's several. One is the nationalinitiative.us. That another location is ni4d.us, which is the same thing. That's the legislation I have for a national initiative, to the meta legislation to empower people to make laws. The other site is Mike Gravel. .us, and another area that I'm working on, trying to get a television half-hour comedy where we would be, where and this was not my idea, somebody brought it to me, but it made sense, where I'd be virally elected president, and we would deal with all of the subjects that are really damaging us. And in addition to that, since I was virally elected president, that we could have Sarah Palin virally elected vice president. And then we would proceed to have comedy debates in this regard, and not only have comedy, but drama, and be very informational. The show would be a cross between West Wing and The Office, a mockumentary. So to get to that site, you just go to ilikemiketv.com. And you'll see some of the trailers that we've done with Barely Political in New York, and it'll just give you a taste of what the show would be. Now, here, too, my capacity is very limited. What we need is for a production company to pick up that idea and to produce it and bring it about. And with respect to now we'll be putting together a 9/11 Truth website that will focus on the initiative, and that should be in place sometime around January.
Well, you know, I don't know if you've seen any of the Jesse Ventura programs, but Jesse did a program on the Governor Ventura did a program on the on the 9/11 attack, and he sort of emphasized the attack on the Pentagon, and he actually interviewed a woman, and I've heard of her many years. I've always wanted to get her interview her myself, but she was actually in the Pentagon on the ground floor with her infant son there in a bassinet, infant son perhaps 6 weeks, 8 weeks old, something like that, when of course the plane hits and it's right adjacent to her and everything goes black, but she is actually able to walk out through the hole, and of course there's no records there, but she comes out of the building. She's taken to the hospital, and immediately, why, the men with the black overcoats and the black glasses come and tell her to be quiet, and she's actually been threatened a number of times. Say, you did see records there in the hole. No, I didn't see any records, and she's actually was fearful for her life. And suddenly, Governor Ventura did a good job of bringing this out, that we have not been told the truth about what happened to the Pentagon, the attack on the Pentagon. Now, I wish he'd taken up the Twin Towers, but he did a good job on that. And that is Truth TV, and of course, I'm amazed that they allow that out. I mean, millions of people saw the Governor Ventura's programs, I would wonder if maybe that network would have the courage to put you on. Certainly, I don't think ABC, CBS, or NBC ever would.
Oh, you could count on that.
but Truth TV is rather interesting that this is the second season. Jesse Ventura has been on there. In fact, he even interviewed me, or he didn't, but one of his associates did, on one of the programs they put on. And they do a very fair job. I've been on other other national TV, and I wouldn't say that necessarily we got a fair shake, but certainly Governor Ventura's film crew did.
What is that? It's Truth TV?
Truth TV, yeah. And, of course, if you simply go up on the Internet and look up Jesse Ventura and his conspiracy theory, I think that's what he calls his program, he has really a lot of great programs up there, and he's doing a good job. Like you, he's, as he said, you know, I want the truth. And this one lady who was part of the 9/11 Commission says to him, well, you know, Sidney, I mean, let's imagine you were right, you know. I mean, what would it gain? What would the possible benefit be from talking about, you know, that maybe it didn't happen just as it was said, you know? Why, that would disillusion people. And, I mean, what do you want to accomplish? And he said, I want the truth out. I want to get the truth out.
But you know what the truth will do? This is what's very, very important. I've really wondered how we would ever break the stranglehold that corporate America and the military-industrial complex hold over the polity, our government, and over our culture. The only thing that I could think of would be some calamitous event. And if it were like another 9/11, all it would do would, depending on who's in power, but I'm sure that's the reaction that people would have, we'd have more vengeance, more war. But another calamitous event would be the explosion in the minds of the American psyche that they cannot trust their government. And there's elements of this in the election process, but it never really gets to full fruition. And what would bring it to full fruition would be the revelation that people within the government were conspiratorially involved in bringing this about so that they could perpetuate the power of the military-industrial complex and American imperialism worldwide.
And I think that certainly is absolutely true. We need something to reach the people and get them to realize that their lives and their families and their future are at stake, and they certainly can lose it all if they don't get involved. And that's what we hope. And I think there's a growing number of people. We're certainly a small, but a growing minority. I've been at this for 48 years trying to educate people, and I'm more encouraged now than I've ever been before. Well, let's go to Ed, who's been patiently holding on. Ed from Aptos. Ed, do you have a question for the senator?
Yeah, brief question. I'll take the answer off it on the air. Senator, I've seen pictures of American soldiers guarding opium fields in Afghanistan. I wanted to know what you think about that.
All right, that's a good question. Thank you so very much. And Ed's question was, he's seen pictures of American soldiers guarding the opium fields in Afghanistan, because when the wicked Taliban were in charge, they shut down the opium trade. Now that the heroic Americans are there, why there's more opium entering the other markets of the world and corrupting and destroying lives than ever before. What are your thoughts on that, Senator?
Well, first off, what else is new?
I know, but I would like your response.
We saw this with the CIA's involvement during the Vietnam War, and we're seeing it now with the CIA's involvement, with the government's involvement. In fact, it's generally known that the White House knows about this in detail, and the rationale is, well, look at, we got to keep these warlords happy and on our side. So they want to grow and export opium, so we make it possible. That's part of this ridiculous foreign policy that we have. And again, you can add to that not only the letting them grow opium and sell it, and we facilitate all of that. What about all the tax dollars that we give these people, millions and millions of dollars, for them to stay loyal to us? That's your tax dollars. When you pay your taxes, here, I'll give you another example. At the beginning in Iraq, what we did is, in order to try and quell the people, after we disbanded their army, we moved in with billions, probably around $12 billion in cash. Now, do you know what $12 billion in $100 bills looks like? You load it onto a Hercules with a forklift. And that's what they were passing out in Iraq. and we're doing this when Petraeus was taking credit for turning around and getting the Sunnis to work with us. We were bribing them. That's what we were doing. And we're doing this wholesale in Afghanistan. And this is your tax dollars. Now, I'm not talking about facilitating the drug trade. That goes without saying. What I'm talking about is where we pay them actual cash. And here, Karzai's brother is not only mixed up in the drug trade. And remember the guy that was found at the airport with $52 million in a satchel leaving the country? Now, he was able to take the money out of the country. All of the growth that you see and all of these mega mansions in Bahrain, Abu Dhabi, and all that, where do you think all that money is coming from to buy those places? It's coming from the American taxpayers indirectly through Iraq, through Afghanistan, and anywhere else.
And, of course, this is all bankrupting America today. Our national debt is over about $14 trillion. And certainly the gross national product is about $14.5 trillion. Sometime in the year 2011, why, of course, the debt will exceed the gross national product, and at that point it becomes unsustainable, and this whole house of cards is going to come tumbling down. It'll be a terrible catastrophe for America, but it may be the best thing that ever happened, because as long as times are good, nobody's going to be concerned. It's only when they lose their job, when they lose their home, when the value of their life savings is gone, only then are they going to be able to begin to look and say, how did this happen? And it may take that to jar the people back to a sense of reality. We live in a make-believe world, but believe those people over in Iraq, the people in Pakistan, the people in Afghanistan are living in the real world, where any day they can be killed by an American missile.
And we sustain all of this by saying, oh, we Americans were the greatest people in the world. You know, that's American triumphalism, and it's ridiculous. We are no better than anybody else in the world. And the sooner that we can mature to that level of humility and human understanding, the better off the American people will be. The American people really have been brought along down the primrose path by some very bad leaders and the political corruption, and they don't react to it. Let me repeat the statement I made earlier. We spend more on defense than all the rest of the world put together. Nobody is a threat to us. And yet we don't see the people reacting to that terrible statement.
Well, I think even more frightening is the fact that we have troops stationed in 130 nations throughout the world. We have troops stationed in Germany 65 years after the Second World War ended. We have troops stationed in Japan 65 years after the Second World War.
And Korea, same thing.
Right. Why are our troops stationed there? Why do we have troops in 130 nations? We have an empire, and ladies and gentlemen, people ought to understand that our leaders really want, of course, to rule the world, and that's what America's foreign policy is all about, but they can't let the American people know that. That's why we spend, as Senator Gravel says, probably more money than all the rest of the nations put together as far as defense is concerned. So who are we defending ourselves against? Osama bin Laden living in a cave?
That's right. And people who supposedly acted with box cutters. It's ridiculous. And look what we're doing at our airports right now with the search, with these machines. Isn't it interesting? The company that was selling the Homeland Security, the machines, is the company that Chertoff, who was the head of Homeland Security, left the government and went to that company that now is selling all of these terrible machines that really aren't going to solve the problem.
In fact, they wouldn't have picked up the underwear bombers, a bomb that he was wearing. And of course, that, the whole thing, the timing of that was just so perfect, you know, this young man, foolish young man, somebody gives him this bomb and tells him all he has to do is light the fuse and it's going to go off, knowing full well that you have to have blasting cap to set off plastic explosives. So he's going to spend the rest of his life in prison for trying to blow up a plane, which he couldn't have possibly blown up. But as soon as this thing came out, immediately they announced that they just happened by chance to have in the warehouses all across America these CT scans all ready to impose, and within a few weeks we were installing these CT scanners. Now, were they waiting for an incident, or did they create the incident? We probably will never know, but it was certainly convenient for the people who financed those machines that suddenly the government's going to purchase them from Mr. Chertoff's company.
Yep. It's the Homeland Security Industrial Complex, and it all falls under the same rubric. It's a waste of our resources and for a threat that doesn't exist. It really... Let me give you another example. I don't know how much time you got left, but look at the way we're treating Iran. Today in the New York Times, it was said that we have American companies that got licenses from the Treasury Department to sell materials to Iran. And here we have sanctions that we're requiring and punishing corporations around the world if they deal with Iran. Now, the whole Iran is really the greatest canard that's going on. We need enemies. If we don't have enemies, then we have no reason for the industrial complex, the military complex. And so here's the scenario with Iran. Iran is a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which governs nuclear activity. And, of course, they are pursuing a civilian reactor program with extensive enrichment. Now, every country in the world can do that. It's totally legal, and there's a clause in the treaty that says they can. But here, we sanction them. And our intelligence community has not been able to produce any evidence that they are trying to weaponize the stuff that they're processing for their reactors to generate power. And all of this, we sanction them, and now we find out that certain American corporations can get involved with Iran. There's just no justice to it. When we had the sanctions going against Iraq during the administration of Bill Clinton, 500,000 children lost their lives as a product of these sanctions. Who do sanctions damage? They damage the innocent. They damage the common people. They don't damage the leaders. The leaders will always get by. In fact, it improves their position because they can make out that they're being attacked by sanctions, and therefore you have to strengthen the leadership that you have.
Well, when Madeleine Albright was asked about the 500,000 children who died because of the American embargo on Iraq over a 10-year period, she said, well, it was worth it. Well, maybe it was worth it to her, but was it worth it to the grieving mothers? And ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. If you're out there in the listening audience, I hope you'll decide you're going to get involved. Our guest, Senator Mike Gravel, will be back in just a moment. Well, Senator, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. It's really been fascinating. I really enjoy having you, and I hope I can have you on again. We do have actually 3 different networks during the day, every day of the week, and we reach people in different audiences, different parts.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.
Carry the film 9/11 Truth, certainly it's Richard Gage's, a DVD on what happened that day. We actually have a number of DVDs. We have a DVD special which you can get. Actually, there are five DVDs. And give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You can get those. We carried the book, The Terror Timeline. And, of course, we have certainly of my little pamphlets on what happened on 9/11. There's three pamphlets in one, and then of course, a series we did, I think, about 2006 to bring this all together. Because, ladies and gentlemen, they killed those people there. I will tell you that there's no way that six of the hijackers who were died that day are alive. I mean, go up on the Internet. You can check out what I'm saying. If you can't find it, we'll be glad to get the information for you. But you see, we can't let the American people think. You explain to me how six of the people who died that day could be alive, and I'll accept your explanation. Otherwise, we need to find out what really happened and who killed those people. You remember how they kept saying 6,000 people died? That's what they said the first day, and then it was 5,000, 4,000. They were anticipating all the people in the South Tower working for Morgan Stanley would die. They were told, they were ordered by the loudspeaker system to stay at their desk, not to get up. Stay at your desk, don't get up. And the man who was in charge of security ran up and down the aisles with a megaphone saying, get out, we're under attack, and don't listen to the loudspeaker. And, of course, he saved those people's lives. He himself died when he went back inside to try to get other people to leave because he knew that they were going to bring that building down. But, of course, it was only later, about a week later, they finally got it down to less than 3,000 died. But every life who was lost was an important life. And, of course, they were murdered that day. And they were not murdered by Islamic terrorists because those buildings came down because of controlled demolition. Get the 9/11 Truth story from the Richard Gage's DVD, and you'll never look at the world through quite the same eyes again. Our telephone number is 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. And then, of course, we all mentioned that we are primarily listener-supported, and if you're in a position to help us, we'd love to hear from you. And you can join the Radio Liberty Tape of the Month Club, or you can join the subscribe to our newsletter, whatever your position to do. And if you're not in a position to help, and I know many people are not, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection, because a number of people that we've interviewed through the years have been assassinated and killed, And like Gary Webb, who shot himself in the head twice to make sure he was dead, he had written about the CIA and their involvement in the drug trade. And that's not the sort of thing you're not supposed to talk about. But I said to him, other people, William Cooper, talk show host, who, of course, questioned what really happened at Oklahoma City, and, of course, whether really Timothy McVeigh really died there. Nobody will tell you where his body is, and nobody will tell you. The government won't tell you what happened to Timothy McVeigh's body. And there was a woman who witnessed the execution who said, and I've heard her interview where she said, gee, I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. I didn't know you kept breathing after you were dead. And William Cooper played that over on his talk show. And then, of course, the SWAT team came out and killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a violent world. We'll appreciate your prayers for our provision and our protection. If you want to understand, Sydney, what's going on, I have a DVD I did on the 9/11 and what we knew at the time about what had happened. There's no question that they knew the attack was coming. But, of course, now I have no question at all that there were explosives in the building that took them down. And when you see Richard Gage's work, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, you won't have either. We hope that you'll want to get the DVD on Planned Police State, Planned Population Reduction, Iraq, the Untold Story with the Syllabus, and then, of course, there's so much more. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or you can listen to our programs 9 hours a day on the satellite feed. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision, and our protection.
Let us swear allegiance.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Peter Hammond, who is with Frontline Ministries. He's a missionary, and for 20 or 30 years, he's been over there in Africa bringing the message of salvation to people in all of the countries of Africa. And of course, he comes over here on a regular basis, and we have him on. But right now, of course, he's in South Africa. It's very early in the morning. He was good enough to get up because, of course, something big is about to occur, and that will be the potential for a war in the Sudan. And I'm going to let Peter bring you up to date on that. Peter, what time is it over there in Cape Town?
It's just 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh well, I thought it was 6 o'clock. I'm glad that we're going to have you on again this afternoon. Will you be at your home or at your office? I think it's either 4 or 5 o'clock. 4 o'clock, I believe.
Oh no, I'll be at the office this afternoon.
All right, I'll call you at the office. Well, why don't you bring our listeners up to date about what's going on in the Sudan?
Well, Dr. Stan, as you know, they're heading for a referendum on the 9th of January. This referendum will determine whether the South will go independent or not. Now, only the Southerners are to vote in this referendum. This is one of the conditions for the Comprehensive Peace Agreement that was signed in 2005. For 50 years, the North and the South battered away. It was a terrible civil war, and the North really waged a hideous war of aggression against the South. It was scorched earth. Bombing of hospitals, schools, burning of crops, crucifying of ministers, destruction of churches, a really horrific, horrific civil war.
Now, basically, Chris, this is really a war between the Muslim North and the Christian South. Is that correct?
That's correct. The North is run by the National Islamic Front government. In fact, they've had six dictatorships in their 60 years of independence. And the North, each government has successively got more extreme, more fundamentalist, more committed to jihad against the South. And this present regime is a dictatorship that came to power through a very bloody coup in 1989. So they've passed their sell-by date. This is a dictatorship for the last 21 years. The dictator at this moment is Omar al-Bashir, who has war crimes and genocide charges against him at The Hague, if they could get hold of him. And he's a man who's opened up the slave trade, many terrible things that he's guilty of. So the National Islamic Front government killed so many people. It is estimated that at least 2 million people killed just by this last dictatorship. We're not talking about the other five of the six Muslim dictatorships that have waged war against the South in Sudan. But this particular government, in the last 21 years, at least a 2 million death toll, most of which would be Christians. So the situation over there is really intense. There's been a peace of a sort over the last 5 years, and now it's coming to a head with this referendum, because that's just one of the biggest conditions, and that is that the South would have a chance in January 2011 to determine whether they would go independent. So this referendum will determine a lot, and there's a good chance that the war could restart as a result.
And basically, of course, you're not hearing about this in America because the Christians are going to be slaughtered there, just as far as when they were slaughtering the Christians in Rwanda. You didn't hear about that. A little occasional mention of it until it was all over, and then, oh my goodness, how terrible. Well, if there's going to be a war, a lot of Christians are going to die. Why isn't it on the front pages of our papers? Well, because they really hate Christianity. That's why. We'll be right back. Peter, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, the situation right now is that the North has, of course, been agitating for the South to stay in. They've been trying to bribe them with a few different things. But basically, the South is solidly, rock solid, well over 90% is determined to be independent and wants nothing to do with the North. They've had enough, as you can imagine, 55 years of this. And they want a good fences make good neighbors policy. They want secession. They want to redraw the map. And the Southerners, everyone I speak to, and it's quite clear that they had an election earlier on this year in the South, and overwhelmingly the SPLA, the Sudanese People's Liberation Army, voted for their people, and therefore, despite government intimidation and everything else, the fact is because the Southerners had won the war on the ground, the North just had to put up with it. But the problem that's happened in the last few years, and this happened after the war started, it's not a cause for the war, but it might be another cause for a restart of the war, and that is that a lot of oil has been discovered in the South. Now, of course, the North wants to redraw the map. If the South goes independent, they want the oil fields in the South to be redrawn to be in the North. Greedy people, obviously. And some Southerners say, just let them have the oil, we want independence. But, of course, others are saying that's not right, this is part of our resources, it can enable us to build a better future. And so, yes, at the moment what you've got is a lot of people who are saying, let's redraw the map, and others are saying, we cannot, it's part of the South, part of our resources. So this is just one of many potential flashpoints that are aggravating the situation that could lead to a restart of the war in this coming year. And we're heading into it. We're just a couple of weeks away from this referendum, and there needs to be a lot of attention on Sudan. That's why I'm so glad that Radio Liberty is focusing on this. We need to have people aware, because a lot of things happen in the darkness, and we need to shine the light on it. People need to be praying. People need to be writing to congressmen, speaking up, communicating to the ambassador of Sudan, writing letters to the editor. We need to speak up for the Southerners and see the churches are praying for the people then, aware of this crisis that's looming. In one sense, it's exciting that the South has the opportunity to get de jure what they've already got de facto. They've won a war of independence.
Hold that thought, Peter. We'll be back in just a moment here with all of our stations on board. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest, of course, is Dr. Peter Hammond, and he's in Cape Town right now, and he's bringing up abreast of what's going on. Of course, there's going to be elections, certainly, in the Sudan in a few weeks. The people are overwhelmingly, in all probability, going to vote for secession from the North. Well, the people in the North don't want the people in the South to secede because, of course, they want to keep oppressed. But even more than that, why, of course, the great oil fields developed by our good friends, the Chinese communists, are in the South there. And, of course, the Chinese communists have been providing money to the people in the North so they can have a sophisticated military, and they've got all sorts of tanks and all sorts of things, all sorts of war-making materials that, of course, they're going to be utilized in this coming war. And it looks like it's going to be a terrible, bloody war if it occurs. And basically, we could be talking about a war in that area, in 3 weeks or so?
We could. It may not happen instantly, but there's no doubt that the tensions are building up enormously at this stage. The North has, of course, been violating the ceasefire in many different ways over the last while. And there have been incidents of violence, but nothing on the scale of what has happened before. So when I speak about a peace and a ceasefire, of course we're speaking in relative terms that would apply to the Middle East and to Africa, because the Arabs just don't keep their side of the bargain at all on any of these things. There's enormous amounts of incidents of violence, but it would be considered to be fairly insignificant in the scheme of things. But still, people have been dying. Incidents of atrocities have been taking place. But at the moment, the Southerners are basically running themselves, and they have been doing so for a long time. Of course, I've been going into Sudan since 1995. Our mission's done 70 major missions, and I've done 27 missions into Sudan during the time of the war. We smuggled over 300,000 Bibles in, got clinics and hospitals up and running. And while we were ministering in Sudan, we got bombed. I was bombed while preaching in churches on Sundays. Our mission station, which only includes a school and a clinic and a Bible college, we were bombed 10 times in the space of just 18 months. So it was a high-intensity conflict, and there's no doubt that the government of Sudan is waging a campaign of jihad against itself, and they were doing it with Chinese help. Without the Red Chinese government's weapons, it could not have been done. So China is extracting the oil out of Sudan, providing high-tech weapons, including the J-7, J-8, and the FC-1 fighter bomber jet to the Sudan government. Of course, T-72s, Hind helicopter gunships, MI-8s, and others. So highly sophisticated weapons of destruction being sold to this genocidal jihadist government. And the National Islamic Front government's been using these weapons that they've got for oil to bomb and bludgeon the Southerners into submission. But they didn't succeed. The Southerners were so tenacious. They fought hard. They were resilient and tenacious. And God answered prayers. There were miracles. And so by 2005, the North surrendered in the sense of accepting a comprehensive peace agreement, which included the condition that the South could have a referendum in 2011 to go independent if it so wished, which it does wish. And that's where we're heading into right now.
Well, I think people, I'm old enough, I can remember, of course, when before they had developed the oil there in the Sudan, and China Petrol, a corporation organized by the communists there in China, needed money to be able to develop the oil in the Sudan. So where did they get the money? They were allowed, we allowed them to come to the American money markets to raise the $5 billion they used to develop the oil there so they could get the profits, so they could give it to the Sudanese, so they could buy the weapons to kill the Christians. Why would our government have allowed a communist corporation to come here and borrow $5 billion so we could build up the Sudan, which is a terrorist nation? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. And especially, of course, when there's this tremendous antagonism towards the Christians in the South, you would think America, a Christian nation, would tend to favor the Christians. But then, of course, if you were to make wagers on that, you'd consistently lose what we've done in Iraq. We've installed a government there under Sharia law. Why would we have installed a government under Sharia law in Iraq, which has caused the Christians to flee for their lives? And those that are staying there, they've killed a whole flock of them in the last few weeks. That went into a church and just simply bombed it, killed about 50 Christians. But we don't talk about much about that here in America. They're just Christians overseas. So basically, things are drawing down. It's just going to be a couple of weeks before the election is held. At least we've heard that they are actually beginning to actually mass their tanks and other military equipment north of the border. Is there any truth to that, do you think?
Oh, yes. No, there's no doubt about it, Dr. Stan. The North is massing weapons of destruction north. There's a huge buildup of the military. They've been getting a massive amount of the top Chinese fighter bomber jets, helicopter gunships, and tanks. And there's a huge concentration, not just in the northern areas on the border, but even in some of the southern areas where no Arab troops are meant to be. The North is meant to be completely withdrawn from the South. In fact, they were meant to be completely withdrawn from the South already 5 years ago, but 2006. So they violated many parts of this comprehensive peace agreement already. And there have been incidents of violence sporadically, which is definitely a foretaste of what is coming at the moment. What we are facing in Sudan is a potential restart of the war, and this time the Arabs have more weapons because they've had time to rebuild. They've had time to say, definitely lost the war by 2005. They had lost the war, but by now they've had a breather. They've recouped, they've rebuilt, they've had time to get in lots more Chinese weapons. China's built more roads and pipelines in order to supply their forward areas, and the situation is actually quite serious. Now, the South has also had time to rebuild and so on, but they haven't been rebuilding the military. They've been trying to rebuild the country that had been bombed and scorched earth. So it's an unequal situation because while, yes, the South is more prosperous and more peaceful at this moment than it was 5 years ago, but the North is better armed and is preparing for a far more devastating war this time because of this massive amount of Chinese weaponry paid for by all the oil that they've managed to extract.
Well, no, basically, is the South, we've heard some stories about some ships coming to the South that actually were carrying tanks and other weapons. I don't know where they're coming from, Russia, or where they were coming from. Has the South been able to get any heavy weapons at all? Because, I mean, certainly men with spears cannot fight an armored tank.
Well, the South does have some significant weapons. I've seen a large amount of tanks, artillery, anti-aircraft weapons in the South, but none of them of American manufacture or European manufacture. All of them are communist Chinese manufacture that they've managed to capture from the North. And this is it. The last time they got new weapons is when they were still at war. And so the weapons they've got, in many cases, are not well maintained or are older and are outclassed by a lot of the newer generation of weapons. Because it's always been that the enemy is my quartermaster. The Southerners never had outside support. They were always having to look after themselves. It was a revolution on a shoestring. They were fighting a war of independence, a freedom from the North, where the only weapons they had is what they could capture from the enemy. So it's a very unequal situation. I have not seen any evidence of either European or American support for the Southerners in military sense. While some groups have gone in and have built some wells, which is very helpful, and some clinics, and have done some fine agricultural and other projects during this time of ceasefire and peace, that's not going to protect the people from a genocidal onslaught from these jihadists when they unleash a new phase of the war.
Well, has this been American government aid, or has this been certainly Christians from around the world coming to help the people there in the southern Sudan?
Dr. Stan, with all of my work around on the ground in Sudan, I have never seen any evidence of real government aid getting down to people. Now, I know there is meant to be some aid, but I'm not sure where it goes, because on the ground, all we see is groups like Norwegian Church Aid, seeing Samaritan's Purse, ministries, Open Doors, Voice of the Martyrs, ourselves. We talk about Christian groups that are actually helping the people on the ground. Clinics, the wells, the agricultural projects are all done by private initiatives, free enterprise, churches, ministries. No government aid is really reaching the people on the ground. And yet I know there is money that's coming for that. So where that money is going, I can't say, because on the ground, the people don't know about it. And I've spoken to governors of the south, of Equatorial Province and Nuba Mountains, for example. I'm speaking, I've met up with their president himself, Commander Silva Kier, of the head of the SPLA in the south. He took over after the previous president was murdered. His helicopter was shot down and he was murdered shortly after the peace agreement began. So, as you can imagine, the Arabs haven't kept the peace agreement very, very well at all, considering these kind of atrocities that even the head of the rebels in the south could have been murdered after they agreed on a ceasefire.
Well, basically, my understanding is that some of the people, some of these Christians living up along the border with the north are really fleeing, already concerned that the other war is imminent. Is there any truth to that?
It is. There's already some removals because people know what's going to happen next: ethnic cleansing, scorched earth, invasions, bombings. So, yes, there's no doubt that people are, at this moment, even though they're excitedly looking forward to independence, they also realize part of the past that there's probably a war of aggression by the North.
You know, somebody once said there's nothing worse than war. The only thing worse than war is losing a war. And, of course, the people of the South are courageous. They're Christians. They're fighting for their freedom. But, of course, they're getting very little help from America. And you have to ask yourself, why? Well, Peter, I don't know if you saw the film. This is George Clooney went over there, and he did a film.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
The other people in the South are burning their crops. But now, over the last 5 years or so, why they've been able to harvest their crops, and the country is really beginning to grow, and the people are beginning to get settled in and rebuild their villages. And now they're faced with the threat of another terrible conflict. And certainly, America has done very little to try to prevent this conflict. And yet, of course, the government of Sudan is an Islamic terrorist government. I mean, this is jihad, a type of the Muslim faith. And yet, of course, we don't seem to be too concerned about that country. We seem to be more concerned about Yemen or what's going on in Somalia. But we're not really concerned about the coming slaughter or potential coming slaughter of the Christians in the southern part of the Sudan. Well, is there anything else we should cover on that subject, or we might talk about?
Yes, indeed, Dr. Stan. I think Americans need to remember that Al-Qaeda started in Sudan, and the terrorist group that America's ostensibly been having a war on terrorism against the last 9 years literally started in Sudan. Sudan was the nursery for this, and that's why when you had those terror attacks on your embassies back in 1998 in Dar es Salaam and in Nairobi, one of the retaliations of the United States was to launch some cruise missiles at some targets in Sudan, because the Sudan government was definitely a major sponsor of the Al-Qaeda movement. So Osama bin Laden was in Sudan, and he is a contractor working with the government, building roads and other things for them, connect to the oil fields for the Chinese, before he started his terrorist campaign. And Sudan was the first headquarters for the training grounds for the Al-Qaeda terrorist network, which has done, of course, enormous amount of attacks on American interests. So you would have thought that America would recognize that Sudan is a serious threat. In fact, both your State Department and the CIA have in the past published reports on Sudan being a terrorist-supporting government, and the U.S. government identified them as a major support base for Al-Qaeda and other extremely hostile jihadist networks and terrorist groups. So, again, it's not something that should just concern us because of compassion and because we realize that they're fellow Christians, and as people who believe in democracy, who believe in actually voting for their government, which they haven't had the privilege of doing up till now. And we should realize there's also our own national interest and our own safety at stake here. If the Muslim jihadists gain full control over all of Sudan, including the Christian South, the next targets will be Christian nations like Kenya and Uganda. And further south, they said so. That's the goal. In fact, the Al-Qaeda government has repeatedly spoken about their goal of a greater Islamic empire, a new caliphate, where Muslim military forces will dominate in the whole Horn of Africa, which would include Ethiopia, include Kenya and Tanzania and Uganda, all of which are countries with Christian majorities. And these countries are meant to be American trading partners, allies, even in some ways, certainly Kenya and Ethiopia. And what is the American government wanting to do to protect them from the inevitable jihadist terrorist threat that's going to come against their countries if the Muslims gain control over the south of Sudan? So there's a lot of things at stake here. And from my perspective as a missionary, Sudan is an extremely strategic country because it's one of the few countries in the Middle East which has millions of Christians. There's only three countries in the whole of the Middle East with millions of Christians, and that is Lebanon, Egypt, and Sudan. And Sudan's got millions of Bible-believing, evangelical, born-again Christians, most of whom speak Arabic, many of whom used to be Muslims and were converted from Islamic backgrounds. So from a missionary point of view, the greatest mission field on earth, meaning the Muslim Middle East, Sudan is an extremely strategic country in a missionary sense because it is a country that can easily be used as the Normandy beachhead, the point for the liberation, the spiritual liberation of the whole of the Middle East to fulfill the Great Commission in this extremely gospel-needy and neglected area and in a spiritual sense.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Muslims converted to Christianity. They can be killed for a Muslim converted to Christianity, but are we seeing more Muslims turning to the Lord?
Yes, we are, indeed. I've just completed our new book on Sudan, Faith Under Fire in Sudan, which is three times larger than the first edition, which came out many years ago. And all the exciting things of Muslims coming to Christ, whole companies, even on one occasion, an entire battalion of Muslim forces came across to the south, said, we want to become Christians, we want to fight for the south. Many Muslims have actually come to Christ in Sudan, which I think is part of the aggravating factors behind the war, because the Muslim jihadists are getting more hostile, more violent and aggressive, the more they see they're losing ground.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back. This is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Peter Hammond with Frontline Ministries. In a couple of minutes, I will tell you how you can get in touch with him, and certainly you'll get Peter's books. They're always fascinating, and it gives us a real insight, a real feeling for what's going on over there in Africa. Now, is there anything else you'd like to talk about, or should we talk about some of the other countries in Africa and what's going on there?
Well, Dr. Stan, I think it's very important that we realize the Chinese connection in an enormous amount of conflicts in Africa, and the issue of blood diamonds and ivory being trafficked, illegal ivory trafficking for, again, red Chinese weapons. And there's a lot of conflicts in Africa, and many of these conflicts are being fueled by diamonds and oil, which are being extracted by the red Chinese. So the red Chinese connection in the wars in Africa is absolutely colossal. They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. Wherever there is a war in Africa, it seems there are the red Chinese. And the Chinese connection is most important. I think people need to be shocked into understanding it. Let me use the word colonialism. The Chinese are involved in colonizing Africa. I don't think there's another word for it. And they are extracting, they're exploiting the natural wealth, the minerals of Africa, and that seems to be one of their major goals. But it's not the only goal. The goal is to take full, complete control over Africa. And what we're seeing is a massive increase, colossal increase. In the last 10 years, Red China has increased their aid and trade with Africa tenfold. That's 1,000% increase over the last 10 years. Just to give you an idea of how serious China's involvement in Africa is, China now is Africa's number one trading partner. They've not only, a few months ago, they passed Great Britain, which had been number one at one stage, and Britain now is more like number four. France was then passed. France is now number three in terms of trading partner with Africa. America is now number two. China is the number one trading partner with Africa in terms of just volume and value of trading value. Now
hold that thought, Peter. Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Peter Hammond is saying that basically what you're not hearing in America is that China is colonizing Africa. Certainly the major powers, European powers, moved out, and nature abhors a vacuum, and China is going in there, and they're colonizing the various countries down there. They're taking charge of their other minerals, and they have their troops. In Zimbabwe, don't they?
They do. In fact, Chinese... military involvement in Africa is in at least 15 different countries.
15 different countries with Chinese troops stationed there. But you're not hearing about that here in America. We wouldn't want to do anything to offend our good communist friends. Peter, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your ministry. Now, for our listeners out there, Barbara and I support Dr. Hammond. We think he's doing a great job. And so this is why we try to have him on. But we also personally support him. And I think that if you're looking for a ministry that's really doing something on the front lines of this battle, Peter's one of them. How can people get in touch with you?
Well, Dr. Stan, our website, frontline.org.za, frontline.org.za, or frontlinefellowship.net. On our website, you'll get a lot of information, updates, ammunition on the New World Order and what the Marxists and Muslims are doing in Africa, particularly in this case about the Red Chinese involvement. Mugabe's Blood Diamonds is one of our recent articles exposing one of the scandals of our age and time. New slavery, new colonialism by China, and they're using blood diamonds, using slave labor in order to extract the minerals of Africa to enrich not only Marxist dictators in China, but also to enrich communist dictators in Africa who are bludgeoning and murdering and massacring their own population, such as is happening in Zimbabwe. Now, Red China's number one biggest trading partner in Africa is Angola. When the Soviet Union collapsed economically back 20 years ago, Red China stepped into the vacuum, and Red China is now the main trading partner and aid and the one from whom most of the weapons are coming for the communist dictatorship of Angola. And you know, our mission has worked a lot in Angola. There's been enormous amounts of bombing of Christians in Angola. I've seen churches that have been destroyed in Angola where the communists came in and put an AK-47 assault rifle on the pulpit and said, this is now your God, worship this. I've been churches where they have taken a Bible off the pulpit, thrown it at the door, and told the people to spit on the Bible as they went out, and they could go free. But if they didn't spit, they'd be killed. And there have been churches where they've massacred people in the congregation inside the church, would have killed the pastor and others right inside the church, like at Chalisa. And there's many cases that we have documented over the years on the communist atrocities in Angola, most committed by the Cubans. Well, now it's the Red Chinese who are in there in Angola, and their aid and trade with communist Angola is over $10 billion a year, which is huge. And what they're getting out of Angola is oil. Angola is another oil-rich country, and Gulf Chevron has, through the years, always been the biggest oil company in Angola, but no longer. Now it's China National Petroleum. So the Chinese petroleum is in, boots and all, and they are ensuring that their client state, the Angolan Communist Government, are kept up to date with the latest in high-tech weapons to bludgeon their poor and generally primitive population into submission. Of course, the Soviet Union and Gulf Chevron played a role in this for many years, but at the moment the biggest player in Angola is Red China. In Zimbabwe, which has got the most brutal dictatorship in Africa, Robert Mugabe's ZANU-PF Marxist dictatorship, he's been reigning for over 30 years. Now, just Jimmy Carter and dear Henry Kissinger who actually got him in power, because Henry Kissinger under Ford started the rot, and then Jimmy Carter's administration completed the betrayal of Rhodesia and the handover to Mugabe. Now, you've had quite a few presidents since Jimmy Carter. Thankfully, you've got actual elections, and you've got term limitation in America, which is a very nice thing to have. But poor Zimbabwe does not, and so 30 years later, our people in Zimbabwe are still suffering under the after effects, the results of Jimmy Carter's foreign policy and Henry Kissinger's treachery and betrayal behind the scenes.
Yes, but America is still sending humanitarian aid to Zimbabwe, which is keeping the thug, Marxist, communist thug there in power. And basically, of course, we could put a total embargo on that country. We could embargo their certainly their copper. We could embargo their diamonds. But we don't do that. Oh, yes, they're terrible. You know, we really think it's, what they're doing is terrible, but we continue sending them humanitarian aid because people are starving, and yet it doesn't go to the people. We refuse to put the sanctions on that we put on to South Africa, and we have to ask ourselves, if we really think that Mugabe is such a terrible person, why do we put him in, why do we finance him, and why do we refuse really to put serious sanctions on there? We have some mild sanctions, but nothing that's really going to crush the economy.
Correct. And Zimbabwe in every way is a total failure, and people need to realize this is exactly what has been achieved by the foreign affairs policy, your State Department policy, because it was a primary State Department objective in the 1970s to betray the pro-Western government of Rhodesia, Ian Smith's government in Rhodesia, which, remember, had been American ally in the First, the Second World War, the Korean War, the Malayan conflict. America always could count on countries like Rhodesia. Rhodesia voted always when they were part of the United Nations on America's side. They were never against. And yet, when Rhodesia was being attacked by communist terrorists, Red Chinese and Soviet-backed terrorists, the American and British foreign policy was to support the terrorists and to oppose the Rhodesian government, which was a pro-Western Christian government. And so right now, what you've got in Zimbabwe is the world's highest inflation ever. It's worse than the Weimar Republic, worse than Hungary, worse than Yugoslavia. It went past the millions and billions into the trillions percent inflation. I have got in my possession a $100 trillion note, which is worth nothing. It won't even buy a loaf of bread.
Well, and didn't they actually change over to using American currency or some currency?
Oh, yes, nobody wants to use Zimbabwe currency. It's completely been abandoned. Everyone wants to use foreign currency, even South African rand, euros, and especially US dollars. They prefer those to their own currency. Nobody wants to use them. Not even the Zimbabwe government wants to use their own currency. So they knocked 16 zeros off the currency at different stages, and now even $100 trillion notes can't even buy a loaf of bread. That's how bad the inflation is. So the worst inflation in the world, thank you, Henry Kissinger. That's the fruit of their policy, because they've got a Marxist dictatorship there. They've also got the worst unemployment in the world, 95% unemployment. Officially, 95% unemployment. I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing before?
How do people live with that?
Well, I can tell you, Dr. Sam, many don't. Many have starved, but we've got something I've never heard of anywhere else in history. More than half of the total population of Zimbabwe have fled the country. More than half are living across the border, and they go backwards and forwards taking some food and aid to their families, who could not survive except for what they're able to glean at almost slave wages across the borders, because the Zimbabweans are devastated. They are so destitute. They're some of the most eager people you can imagine. These are people that once under Rhodesia had the highest standard of education in Africa, and now they are many with university degrees and are just doing any menial job because they've got to keep the family going in Zimbabwe, and they can't survive on what they get inside the country. So without the people who've gone outside the country bringing things back in, most people would not survive. So the economy has completely collapsed because Mugabe invaded the white-controlled farms. He did farm invasions under the name of land reform. There was nothing of the sort. There was just invasion, looting, pillaging, burning, destruction of what was some of the finest farms in Africa. Zimbabwe used to feed not only its own people. There were 5,500 white farmers who fed the 10 million people of Zimbabwe and provided food for export. Not only were those 5,500 white farmers the biggest employers in Zimbabwe, but they also were the biggest providers of foreign exchange earnings and exports and many other positive aspects to the country's economy. And right now, bludgeoned, destroyed, many farmers murdered, many have fled elsewhere, and of course the farms just looted and destroyed. So the, when a country destroys its agricultural foundation, it commits national suicide. So what you've seen in Zimbabwe is a national suicide by this Marxist dictatorship destroying its farms just because of their hatred for the whites who ran it. But to be fair, this isn't the first time that was done. It was done by Vladimir Lenin against the kulaks, or the farmers of the Ukraine back in 1920s. They killed millions of people in the Ukraine who died of starvation in the 1920s under Vladimir Lenin and later Joseph Stalin, just because the kulaks or the farmers of the Ukraine were not excited about the commissars and they didn't respond to the Marxist propaganda well. And so, as Lenin so famously said, it doesn't matter if half of the population of the Soviet Union die, it doesn't matter if two-thirds of the population of the Soviet Union die, as long as the remaining third are communists. And it's a small price to pay to ensure communist success in the Soviet Union for several million people to die. And Joseph Stalin said, the death of one person is a tragedy, but the death of a million is just a statistic.
And really what a tragic situation it is that we brought a communist regime to power. Henry Kissinger intentionally and willfully, and the State Department, of course, has cooperated to keep Mugabe in power through this. Now, what about the blood diamonds? What about the copper? Certainly, they do produce copper there, don't they?
Yes. Dr. Stan, the old Rhodesian, the present Zimbabwe, is mineral rich. It's got everything from gold, diamonds, copper.
In fact, it has a lot of the hard to get metals. They call them what the special
strategic minerals
are there, right?
Even under Jimmy Carter's regime, where they put total sanctions on Rhodesia, they excluded 11 strategic minerals. So we won't buy or sell anything with Rhodesia. Except for these 11 strategic minerals that we need in order to fly fighter jets and to make refrigerators and air conditioners, we must have those minerals. So even under the total sanctions of Jimmy Carter's era against Rhodesia, they still exclude 11 strategic minerals from Rhodesia. So it's obviously a strategic country for that. But now, what they've discovered just in the last 4 years is one of the biggest diamond fields in the world at the Mereng Diamond Fields. This is very close to Matari, the third largest city in Zimbabwe, in the Eastern Highlands. I've been there many times. I know the area well. And in the Mereng Diamond Fields, they have now got a diamond field so big, it is believed that a quarter of the world's diamond production could soon be coming from there. At the moment, it's something in the region of 20% of the world's diamond production is coming from Zimbabwe, and it could easily go up to a full quarter very soon. And that translates to something in the region of $56 billion of retail value diamonds a year. $56 billion. I mean, imagine what that does for a dictatorship when they have access to this kind of money. So, yes, they've destroyed the agriculture of the country. Yes, they've destroyed the tourism of the country. They've destroyed the national parks, the game reserves. They've imploded the currency. And, yes, it's almost total unemployment and half the population fled. But they can stay in power because they've got diamonds which Chinese are taking, and the Chinese are giving them all the weapons they need to keep the people in subjection. So this is what's going on. I've actually put together a whole PowerPoint on this, the pictures, the whole lot. It's an incredible scandal. We've got a whole lot of this on our website too. The Mereng Diamond Fields have got a huge airstrip which the Chinese have built in the bush, and massive Antonov jets come flying in from China. They land there in this bush airstrip. They don't go through customs or the capital city of Harare and things. They land straight there, offload people from the People's Liberation Army. We've got pictures. People's Liberation Army, that's the Chinese army. Of course, there's nothing liberating about them. That's just their name. But the PLA are there in Zimbabwe extracting diamonds, and they are taking diamonds out. They load in the plane. They don't go through customs. There's no inventory. They fly straight out off to China. And China's bringing weapons in, the best FJs, the FC-1s, the J-1s, the J-7, J-8 fighter bomber jets, the Hind helicopter gunships, the T-72 tanks. Whatever the people in Zimbabwe want, or the government there, they're getting all this weaponry, and the Zimbabwe military has massively upgraded their weapons at this stage because of these diamonds that China's getting. And China has moved in boots and all. It's a military exclusion zone. When the people first discovered the diamonds a few years ago, many people, thousands, poured into the area and started doing some informal diamond mining. And maybe they believed Mugabe's propaganda that our land is our sovereignty and the land belongs to all the people. Well, when Mugabe learned about this, in came the helicopter gunships. The Zimbabwe army, led by the Zimbabwe presidential guard of Mugabe's, massacred the people, killed hundreds, mutilated a whole lot, did a full ethnic cleansing of the area, and barbed wired up the whole area, made it a military exclusion zone, massive military exclusion zone. No one's allowed to be in there except the slaves. And then they've mobilized some of the nearby villages as slaves. And we've got the pictures as well. Massive amounts of exploitation of these mines. So what you've got is colossal slave labor operation going on in Zimbabwe, run by the Zimbabwe military and the Chinese People's Liberation Army in a combined effort. They are extracting these diamonds. It is slave labor being used to get blood diamonds. It's going up to about a quarter of the world's diamond production. That means there's a 1 in 4 chance that diamonds people see come from this conflict diamond, blood diamond source of Zimbabwe.
Well, then why don't we do what we did with the other countries and just say we will not allow any of the diamonds from there. They're blood diamonds, and we're not going to allow those to be used. They're being used to oppress the people and kill the people and slaughter. I mean, half the people have left the country. Why doesn't America put the embargo on those diamonds like we did the other areas of Africa?
Well, Dr. Stan, this is another scandal. The Kimberley Process, which is meant to prevent conflict diamonds or blood diamonds being ever reaching the market, it is completely flawed because it says nothing about a government exploiting diamonds, because the whole definition of a blood diamond, according to the Kimberley Process, is that guarantees that your diamond's conflict-free, is that a blood diamond, by their definition, is a diamond that's extracted using torture and atrocities by a rebel movement. And they don't discuss whether a government is legitimate or not. So the fact that Zimbabwe has a government, well, not in your and my mind, it's not a legitimate government, it's a dictatorship. By definition, the Kimberley Process does not recognize Zimbabwe diamonds as blood diamonds. And so there you've got the hypocrisy. Oh, it's a government. Yes, they were voted out, and yes, they don't support the people and their dictatorship. But they're a government, and therefore, by definition, their diamonds are not blood diamonds, according to the Kimberley Process.
Well, I think that they're playing on words. Of course, the truth of the matter is, we installed that government, we're keeping them in power, and we're working very closely with the communists. If you doubt that, you need to read David Rockefeller's a book on Sidney Reed. Talks about how the trilateralists went over to visit with the Chinese communists, and the Chinese communists were so happy to work with the trilaterals, members of the Trilateral Commission, headed by David Rockefeller. And we have to ask ourselves, what sort of secret agreements do we have? Why have we poured hundreds of billions of dollars to build up the Chinese military and the Chinese manufacturing potential? We'll be right back. Go right ahead. We've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, then I'll let you go.
Dr. Stan, I think it's absolutely imperative. People need to know what's going on in Africa. Africa's a bad...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Always getting fascinating information on what's going on there. Well, Peter, I'll let you get going, and we'll be talking to you about 4 o'clock this afternoon when we do our early morning program here. We live in a crazy world, but I appreciate so much your being willing to get up early in the morning to share with us. I think it's so vitally important that the American people understand what's going on in Africa and how, of course, we installed the communist government there in Rhodesia, what we call it Zimbabwe today, and destroyed that nation. You have to ask yourself, why? Anyway, God bless you, Peter, and we'll talk to you this afternoon.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. May God bless all of your listeners.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Well, Sydney, that was Peter Hammond. I hope you enjoyed our interview with him. We, of course, try to get Peter on as often as we can. We will be doing him on our early morning program. And, Sydney, you need to understand that certainly the Sudan is on the verge of war. You're not hearing about this. I would congratulate George Clooney. He did an excellent job on this program. If you can find it on the Internet, why, it's well worthwhile watching. But people must understand that they intentionally installed this ruthless dictator there in Zimbabwe, and our good friends in communist China, because our leaders are working closely with the communist leaders, are maintaining that that tyrannical regime in power, with our help, of course, both the United States and Great Britain. The Anglo-American establishment are acting in the name of humanitarian aid, are sending money to Mugabe while the people are starving. Over half the people in the world in Rhodesia have fled. If something similar were to happen in America, right now Henry Kissinger really leads the invisible government, the Brotherhood of Darkness, because David Rockefeller is aging. Henry Kissinger is the man in charge here in America. If something like that happened in America, where would you flee to? You say it could never happen here, and I would ask why. I mean, if God is just, don't you think he's going to bring his justice on this country as we've embraced everything vile? We're the greatest purveyor of pornography anywhere in the world. We send out more pornography from America. We're corrupting the morals of countries all throughout the world, and we've embraced a homosexual lifestyle. Today, one in every two marriages breaks up. We have one in every 33 adults in America is in prison, probation, or parole. One of every three young black men, 21 to 31, prison, probation, or parole. What's wrong with this? Ladies and gentlemen, this nation has turned its back on God, and there are going to be terrible, terrible consequences. What you need to do to understand what's going on is get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That's Brotherhood of Darkness. And then, of course, we have I have a four-tape set called The Other Holocaust, where we talk about what happened in Rwanda, what's happened in Armenia, what's happened in some of the other Holocausts. We have a great four-tape set on the Holocaust. If you wonder what really happened, we have four-tape sets, including people who are actually there, who were at Auschwitz, who will tell you firsthand what really happened. And then, of course, if you haven't read, of course, John Loftus's great book, going into the background, it's called America's Nazi Secret. Of course, he studied what happened in Belarus, where they killed almost 2 million Jews. The collaborators, the people from Belarus, worked with the Nazis and killed almost 2 million Jews and many of their own countrymen. And then they were allowed to come to America and settle in New Jersey. And you've never heard this sort of thing. Why? Because they don't want you to understand the sinister and dark spiritual forces that dominate America. And of course, you want to find out about Operation Paperclip, where we brought the Nazi criminals to America, and then, of course, the Rat Line, where we helped the Nazis, tens of thousands of them escape to South America, and, of course, with the help of MI6 and the Vatican, at least an element, a dark and sinister cult element within the Vatican. If you don't believe it exists, you need to get the four-tape set on the Wisdom of Malachi Martin. So that's the four-tape set on the Wisdom of Malachi Martin, the book, America's Nazi Secret. You'll certainly want to get the Other Holocaust, and then the four-tape set on, or four-CD set on the Holocaust. And then, of course, I number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to Power Hour, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us on the Power Hour. Straight up top of the hour. We're going to get into foreclosure in this next hour, but Pastor Butch Paul joins me right now. Let me just add that there is an article that Butch sent to me. It says, Why Shooting Abortion Doctors Might Be Justifiable Homicide. That bothers me. That is where I get off on the issue of it can't be the message that we're giving. But let me just say, it may be deadly force to protect preborn babies may be justified. Let me go to the callers and see what they think.
No, wait, that's not my article. That's a different man. I didn't write
that article.
Correct.
That's not your article, but you did send it to me.
I did send it to you, right.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Ann in Michigan. Ann,
hi, guys.
Your comment, please.
Yes, I agree with the time to kill. I watched the Scott Roeder court case. It was on TV. And, you know, he killed that Tiller the Killer, who they estimate has, in his career, killed 65,000 babies.
You know, I got your comment. I am not believing what I'm hearing. I mean, this is that much of a shock to me. I am not believing what we're hearing. And I'm just even wondering if I should have even opened up this can of worms. But thank you, Ann in Michigan. I mean, it just is... Killing is just such an anathema to me. I cannot tell
you. Well, it is to anyone in Jewish who's a true Christian. No one wants to do that. God help me. I don't want to do that.
I know.
I don't want to do that. But if it comes necessary, then it's necessary. Our forefathers didn't want to either. Our forefathers had families and a lot of this to take care of. They didn't want to die on a battlefield, but they had to take a stand. You know, my greatest concern is this, Joyce. And this is my greatest concern. Perhaps we've delayed too long and sinned too far for repentance. I don't know. Only our Father knows that.
All right. But it's serious. Let me go to John in Michigan. John, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Morning.
Morning. Go ahead.
Why is this guy quoting a 1700 preacher instead of the scripture that says, love your enemies, pray for those despitefully usual? I would pay attention to his doublespeak I think he's a lying prophet of Baal.
Well, wait a minute. No, that's not necessary. That is not necessary, John. He's speaking what he believes in his heart. And believe me, Butch only says what is in his heart. To me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. You know,
but this is not vengeance. This is not vengeance. To protect the innocent is justice, not vengeance. No one's going for vengeance. Vengeance is a sin. And this is not doublespeak. We are to love our enemies. I love my enemies. I love to see them redeemed and come to Christ. I've led sodomites to Christ. I've led murderers to Christ. But this does not justify their crime.
Okay, but doesn't the scripture talk about other people that should be killed also?
It does.
Well, you make an abortion.
I mean, sodomites are worthy of death. I mean, that's the way it is. I didn't write the Bible.
We're just supposed to start just killing people, though?
I didn't say that. I did not say that. I'm saying they're worthy of death. The Bible says that. The civil authority is supposed to do that, but they haven't done it.
Isn't that my job? No. I cannot believe Jesus, Yahshua, would go around and say, you know, they need to be put to death. They need to be put to death.
Well, why do you think Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1? He said these people were the
Yahshua
dead.
Either.
No, but they did not represent him and write his active
scriptures. The Messiah never said one word about killing people.
The Messiah himself, his father, slew millions of people for sin.
All right, but not in the New Testament.
All through history, still he is.
The Messiah didn't, I said. Okay, let's go to Frank in North Carolina. Frank in North Carolina.